Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude is right before the book of Revelation, second to the last book of the Bible. The book of Jude. I'm going to read verse 1, and then we're going to drop down to verse 17 and read down to verse 21. So if you would stand with me this morning, if you're able to. And as I read, you follow right along with me. The book of Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now drop down to verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again today, thanking you for the opportunity and the privilege of allowing us to be in church today, the opportunities that each one here has taken advantage of. And for what we've already received, God, we thank you for the message and song and just the blessing of being in the house of the Lord. Now, as we've opened up your word and looking into this book of Jude, Lord, I believe that you have a message for each and every one of us today. I pray that each one would open their hearts and their minds to receive it. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message from your word for your people. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 1, we find here that Jude declares himself to be a servant of Jesus Christ. That's important because we know that Jude realized as he was penning this, not only was he inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write what God wanted him to write, and it's been God who has preserved it for us to read and to study it this morning, but Jude himself realized that he had God's message for the people. He knew who he was writing to. He was writing to the believers. And he realized that as if it was God's message, it would be to the believers throughout all times, throughout this New Testament church age. But he had God's message, and his message in this short book of the Bible, this letter that Jude wrote, has an important message for even us today. It's been a message that every Christian from this church age has need of. Whether they have looked to it and learned from it and applied it, that's another case. But they had it available to them, as we have the Word of God available to us even today. He would tell them in verse 3 that he would need to exhort them to contend for the faith and how important that has been down through the years, just standing for the faith of Christ and what the Bible has taught us. Verse 4, all the way down to verse 16, he reveals to us that there will be ungodly, corrupt, evil, false teachers who will attempt to lead into apostasy. And boy, that's been the case. As we've looked back over history, there's no doubt there have been many, I believe, possibly even demon-possessed individuals that have been able to influence humanity and even nations to turn away from Christ and to go in a direction the opposite of what Jesus Christ would have established for Christianity. It would lead into apostasy, a desertion or departure from the faith that we find here that Jude exhorted them to contend for. And then we find verse 17 and 18, we find that Jude is reminding us that this is what the apostles of the Lord revealed to them, that there would be apostasy, there would be false teachers, there would be false preachers. He said in verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ," who would speak the very same words that Jesus would have spoken and given to them. "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust." As we glance back over history, and that's something that we have the privilege of now to look back and study and to see just what has taken place over the last 2,000 years, how right they were. And we see over the time, the dispensations of time, the changing world, changing beliefs, especially when it comes to Christianity, and that has impacted the world. And yet, in areas at that one time they received it, then it would not be long till they would reject it. And that has continued to take place over the dispensation of times. As we think of some of those things that we would be mindful of, and especially if we just go back over the last 120 years or so, many would have remembered or read about or at least heard about the Welsh revivals, and how that in 1905, there was 150,000 converted to Christianity in Wales. I mean, the whole world was aware of that. The revival that was taking place there, I mean, just had the attention of the entire world concerning Christianity. That means that they had to turn away from false gods. They had to turn away from what had been taught leading them away from Christ. But at that particular time in history, they were receptive, and there was a great Welsh revival. And then we find that how easily things can turn. And as we look at world events, we look back to 1941 through 1945, when Nazi Germany turned away from any thought of Christianity. Matter of fact, Hitler wanted to and would brag that he would destroy the Word of God, the Bible. And we find in 1941 to 1945 in Nazi Germany, there was over 6 million Jews murdered, known in history as the Great Holocaust. 6 million men, women, and children because of belief, a blinding belief. And then we find in New England and the USA, as we look back over the history, we find that there was something called the Great Awakening. If you'll study history, you'll find that there was 4 times in our history that was known as the Great Awakening. And the Great Awakening would have been revivals turning back to Christ. Amen. When a nation of people would turn back to Christ, that means they would have to turn away from some other philosophy of living, some other philosophy of worship, from other so-called gods. And during these great awakenings, we find that people would believe the Word of God and they would respond to the preaching and the teaching of the Bible. Amen. 4 different times. The last being in the 1960s, 1970s would be the last of what most would consider a great awakening in the United States of America. Many here can remember. Some here would have no clue. It was the Billy Graham Crusades, sweeping across America. I mean, unheard of, thousands of people. They would rent out the biggest stadiums, the largest stadiums, and he would preach, and they would flock to the altars. Churches were growing like wildfire. There was still evil, but it was in no comparison to the revival of Christianity in America. The Jerry Falwell era. The moral majority, which was taking place when we started this Lighthouse Baptist Church over off of Washington Street in a storefront. Yeah. I mean, there was just an awareness of God and a renewed desire to tell people about Christ. Amen. Now we look back, and that would have been the last of what is known in history as the Great Awakenings. I really believe in studying the Bible and studying history and everything that's leading up to where we're at today. I believe the next could be the rapture. The next great awakening, I guarantee you, there will be a great awakening when Christ calls his church home. Yeah. And so we look back to the book of Jude, which he reminds, that's what the apostles 2,000 years ago, that's what Jesus taught them, and that's what they would teach, and that's what the disciples ever since that time has been preaching and teaching as well, because it's Bible, that there's always, in every dispensation of time, there's always going to be those that's going to try to lead people away from Christ and the beliefs in Christ. And it will become more and more known as anti-Christ. But it will happen one person at a time. If there's never that one person, you'll never have a multitude being led astray. And so he tells us, and the message I want to preach to you this morning, verse 21. Keep yourselves. It's a responsibility that every one of us have. Because somewhere in the families that go into apostasy, it starts with one. Somewhere in a neighborhood, it starts with one. Somewhere in a society, it begins with one. And multiplies rather quickly. But the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God, and in doing that, looking for. Being mindful that it's going to come. And so I'm living in a way that I'm looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Whether it's the day that I die, when I die from this, pass off the presence of this earth, then praise God, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to having no more pain and sorrow and suffering, and eventually having a glorified body that I will dwell in for eternal life. Or if Christ would call the church home before that time, I can look forward to that as well. Amen. Either one could happen any day. We know not what a day may bring. I've got the promise. I do not have the promise of tomorrow, which makes it so much more important that I am ready today and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves. The key to avoid personal apostasy, a message that I believe that Jude gives us. The keys to avoid personal apostasy, it starts with one. Are we doing what only we can do for ourselves? Keep yourselves. I mean, that's only what you can do for you. Can't do it for your spouse. They have to do it for themselves. Can't do it for your children. They have to do it for themselves. Can't do it for your family members, your loved ones. There's certain things that only we can do for ourselves. As a baby born into this world, my mother washed me. I don't remember it. I just know that she did. As a toddler, she helped me to bathe myself. As a boy, she forced me. Even though I didn't want to as often as she wanted me to, she made sure that I did. And now as a man, I do it for myself. Now my wife might encourage me every now and then. No. When we come to Christ as our Savior, we come to Him, all of us come to Him the very same way, as babes in Christ. And He watches over us and He blesses us and He brings people into our lives to make sure that we are placed on the right track, if you will. To have the opportunities to grow as a born-again believer. But at some point, we need to mature in our Christian faith. At some point, people come alongside of us, and the church has been established to help us. And before you know it, I mean, all these things, but at some point, we've got to mature into adults in our Christian lives. Because if there's at some point in our lives that only we can do what we need to do for ourselves. And that's what Jude is presenting to us. And that's what we need to stop and think about today. Are we dependent upon our spouse for our walk with Christ? Are we dependent upon our parents concerning our belief and our walk with Christ? Are we dependent upon the church? Is this the only time that you think of God was when you come to church? Is this the only time that you grow closer to God? If it is, you're not going to continue in your Christian faith. Because there's too much in the world that's going to try to lead you into apostasy. That's what Jude is getting across to us. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You see, the first thing that I realize that I must do on my own, at some point, I must know that God's love is real. If I don't know that God's love is real, I will not love Him. Because I will not be convinced that He first of all loved me. John chapter 1. Look back with me. Just a couple pages actually. John, 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 9, we find that John writes this, and he says, "And this was manifested, it was revealed to us, the love of God toward us." This is something you can look back on, and even history proves it. We can base our faith upon true proven history. We can base our faith upon what the Bible says, because the Bible is true and has been proven. And proven history is something that can encourage you to understand that God is real. If we just look back over the history of the United States of America, you can see the evidence of God working in and through this United States of America. Before we, as a nation, have been influenced to fall into apostasy, we can look back and we can see times when people listened to the Word of God and there was great awakenings, there were great revivals, not only worldwide revivals, but United States, American revivals that we can look back to. And so he says here in verse 9, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." I often tell people, if you ever have a doubt whether or not God loves you, if you ever have a doubt whether or not you believe in the reality of the love of God, all you have to do is look back some 2,000 years ago to the cross of Calvary, where there my Lord and Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who was a sinless, he walked and lived a sinless life, who is God manifested in the flesh, went to the cross of Calvary. It has been proven through history. It is on our own nation's calendar. The idea that he went to the cross of Christ, went to the cross, and there he suffered, and he bled, and he died to pay a debt that I owed and couldn't pay. And to prove that he was the only begotten Son of God, he did something that no one else has ever done. He resurrected from the grave. Resurrected from the grave. And met with the apostles for some 40 days afterwards, giving them final instructions, as we find some of it listed here in the book of Jude, on what to pen and how to establish and how to continue after what he has established as the New Testament church. By the end of the apostolic age, we have the completion of the New Testament scriptures. That's history. You can't deny that. That's history. And it also reveals the love of God, because he says in verse 10, "Herein is love." Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Before you could ever love God the way God wants you to love him, you have to believe in the love of God for you. Unquestionable, undeniable love of God. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the sacrifice, to appease God for our sins. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe it? Because that's the first thing that the old devil will use through heretics. That's the first thing that the devil will try to get across through false teachers and false doctrines and evil workers and philosophers, is that was not true. They will not deny that Jesus was part of history, because it's undeniable, but they will say that he was just a good person. They will say that he was a good prophet, but they will deny the deity of Christ, which makes all the difference in the world. Because God himself came to this earth That's a love. He came for us. He came to pay a sin debt that you owe and could not ever pay. You could never have enough righteousness in and of yourself. You can never pay enough money. You can never do enough good deeds. We could not have it outside of the love of God. Wow. Don't let Satan take that away from you. Don't let the world take that away from you. Don't let religion take that away from you. God loves you. It's proof in looking back to the cross of Calvary. God loves you. And because I know that God loved me, I know that he gave his very best for me. He allowed his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son for me. Because of that, we find that here John even writes to us, and he says in chapter 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If you do not believe and understand that God loves you, you cannot love him as he wants you to love him. But when you realize his love for you and what he sacrificed for you, and you acknowledge that, then you are at the place where you can love him as he wants you to love him. Because you're going to be appreciative of what he's done. And when you understand what he's done, and you love him, he cannot ask too much of me. He cannot ask too much of me as a born-again believer. After what he's done for me, I owe him more than I could ever give him. For people to turn out right, it's just the way that God designed us. It's the way that God designed the human mind, the human heart. For people to turn out right, they need to know that they're loved. If you go back in history and you study wherever there's been a mass murderer, wherever there's been somebody so evil, is capable of, all of us are sinners. We're all capable of doing evil things. But it's knowing that you are loved is what helps develop your mind and your heart to turn out right. I was out soul winning. It's been several years back, but I was knocking on doors, and I was by myself, and I knocked on the one door, and it was in an area not as very nice and pleasant, but I mean, there was this big old, burly dude coming to the door, and he had this beard, tattoos all over him, as a biker out front, and I almost ran before he ever got to the door. But he come, and he said, "What do you want?" And I, "Nothing, I'm gone, sorry about..." When he's coming, I seen him through the screen door, and God told me what to say. "Yeah, what do you want?" And I said, I'm just here to tell you that God loves you." He stopped in his tracks, dropped his head, then looked it up, tears in his eyes. He said, "My mom tells me that all the time." No matter how big and burly anybody, they all have a mother. And if a mother has instilled within that child, no matter at what time in their life, if a mother has instilled within that child that God loves you, it will impact their lives. It will at some point make a difference. And all he needed to hear is that God loves you. Because it was instilled in his heart, we had a great conversation. I was able to lead him to Christ right there, right then. You know that God loves you. Does your life reflect it? Because if you truly understand the love of God and you truly know that God loves you, that will lead you to what? Love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And when you realize that and you believe that and you focus on that, listen to me, you will have a love for God. And that's what you have need of to live for God. It has never been easy to live for God. It has never been popular to live for God. It never will be. But that doesn't mean that we can't have personal revival. We can. No matter how wicked the world is, no matter what's going on in the world, you can have this personal revival. Whether or not we'll have another great awakening, I believe the next one will be the rapture. But I could be wrong. We might have another great awakening. I don't know. I'm not giving up on it. Because you do the same things. You just love God and tell other people that God loves you. That's what led to every great awakening we've ever had. That's what's led to every revival the world's ever experienced. Is somebody loving God, knowing that God loved them, and telling somebody else that God loves you. It'll make a difference. It will make a difference. Go back with me to Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, those that are loved by God and know it and love God, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves. Only you know where you're at in your faith. Now you might have an appearance. All of us have an appearance. And others might have certain thoughts concerning your appearance. But only you know where you're at in your faith. Only you know what you really believe, or you're just going along with it because your spouse, or going along with it because your parents, or going along with it because of your church. Only you know that. And we find here the message that Jude has for us from God is building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Build your faith. Grow your faith. How do we do that, preacher? Well, you first of all need to stop listening to unbelievers and start listening to Bible preaching. Amen. Stop listening to worldly counsel and start listening to godly counsel. That person that you've been allowing to influence you at work, or maybe in your family, or maybe in your neighborhood, or wherever it might be, if they're not saved, is not going to give you the counsel that you need. And it's usually that influence of somebody else who does not believe or does not even understand, does not know of the love of God. You're allowing that person who does not even understand the love of God nor the ways of God to influence you on how you're going to live your life and the decisions you're going to make. You're not going to build your faith by listening to that kind of counsel. That's going to take you away from your faith. You're not going to build your faith by staying out of church, keeping your Bible on the shelf, and listening to CNN. Not going to build your faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, and we're almost done here, so follow with me here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. This is something that's going to happen. It has happened. It has led the nations away from God. It's led the world away from God, only to see someone else come with Bible preaching and truth to bring it back for revival, national revivals, worldwide revivals. We've seen it all in the past. It's history. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 is Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ wanting to make an influence on young Timothy, a young pastor boy. He says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou. Don't listen to them. Don't let them influence you. They're going to be there. You make the decision for your mind. You make the decision for your life, whether you listen to them, whether you follow after them. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. We need to look to be influenced by those things that will help build our faith. And stay away from those things that will take us away from our faith. The last thing. Go back with me. Jude, verse 20. And he says in verse 20, not only are we to build up yourselves, it's something you have to do for yourself. But he says there at the last of this verse, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now we know that Jesus established prayer. And for the first time, he presented to Christianity to call God their Father. Jesus established that. Jesus established prayer, and he says you need to pray to the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's New Testament Christian. That's Bible. We pray to God the Father. And we only can communicate with God the Father as we go through God the Son. And as we go through God the Son, praying to God the Father, we have a comforter that dwells within us, which is the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity of God. And if you're saved here this morning, can I tell you that you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling and is sealed inside of you and is there willing and ready to bear witness with your spirit and actually help you and lead you to pray to God the Father through God the Son. And so Jude here is trying to present that once again so that the people would understand. Communicate with God. Talk to Him. He's made it available that we can pray without ceasing. He's made it available to us to talk to God at any point in time that we choose to. He doesn't force it. God wants communication with you because He loves you. And when you communicate with Him, it is evidence of your love for Him. You communicate more with those you love than those that you just kind of put up with. Matter of fact, there's some people that you see coming and you go a different direction. And you say, well, I'm going to love at a distance because I'm commanded to love. And that's the only way I'm going to be able to obey that commandment is doing it at a distance. I understand that. But you are to love. The one that you had better not love at a distance is the one that first of all loved you. Your desire to communicate with Him reveals your love. He made a way for it. God the Father made a way for it. It took sending his only begotten Son. And then sending the Holy Ghost, which is to dwell within everyone who receives Christ as their Savior. There's been sacrifices made in heaven for you to be able to communicate with God. And how often do we talk to him? Only you know that. And only you are going to be impacted by that in your spiritual life. But then your spiritual life will impact others. Ephesians in chapter 5, and we're done. Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5, we find here Paul writing to the believers in Ephesus and presenting something to them that they had need of, which goes right along with what Jude presented to us. In Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 17, he writes and he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." As believers, we ought to want to be wise. "But understanding what the will of the Lord is." What does God require of me? What does God want me to do? What is his will for my life? Can I tell you one of the first things on the top of the list is talk to him. Communicate with him. Because he loves you and he wants you to love him. And your communicating with him reveals your love for him. Your belief in him. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, if you're saved, you already have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So what he is talking about there is yielding to the Spirit of God, which is allowing him to fill up your heart and to fill up your mind and to fill up your desires and to fill up what you're going to do for your in your life. It is so yielded to the Spirit of God that dwells within me that I'm going to be aware of the will of God and I'm going to live in the will of God. That's part of communicating with him. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. There's something about keeping right thoughts on my mind that will encourage me to spend more time talking to him. If I keep the world's music on my heart, in my heart and mind, I'm going to have a greater desire for the world, to communicate with the world. If I keep the right things on my heart and mind, I'm going to have a greater desire to communicate with God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And you do this by giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. The more we will listen and yield to God, the less we will listen and yield to the world and the flesh and the devil. You see, an addict that has allowed drugs and alcohol to consume and control them, if they want to break that addiction, an addict must devote their whole body, soul, and mind to sobriety. Half-hearted addiction is going to become full addiction. Sobriety only comes to an addict by devoting their whole body, soul, and mind. It tells you something about the human nature. Unless we devote all of us, we'll not serve him, we'll not live for him, and we will eventually fall into apostasy. It's how it's happened over the last 2,000 years, time and time again. They've had the same thing we have today. They've had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They've had the completion of the Word of God, but time and time again. But at certain points, we look back and we find there was a Welsh revival. There was a great awakening. There was personal revival. And the way that comes to us is by doing what James says to do. Keep yourselves in the love of God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. For only you can do that for you. Only I can do that for me. Are you doing it? Are you doing what God says you need to do in order to live in revival instead of fall into apostasy? Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, as we have preached it and presented it as you would have us to, that now you would use it. And God, it would help all that are here to know, first of all, whether or not they do love you, that they are, know that they're saved. But also, as born-again believers, it'll help us to have the understanding and the wisdom to know what we need to do to avoid apostasy. I pray for everyone who desires, God, to live for you, that you would strengthen them to do just that. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.